As I was looking in asking the Lord what to have the message for the afternoon, my focus was on the Ephesians chapter 4. But as I was reading that, I figured, well, that's all the way at the end of the chapter, because the word that Apostle Paul used was finally, brethren. But then I thought, well, hold on a minute. Finally means, like, at the end of all of it, this is like, okay, this is now the tail end of it. What was he talking about in the beginning? So with the Lord's help, I'd actually like to start from the beginning, and I'd like to go through the book of Ephesians. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Let's pause for a moment of prayer before we do that. Father in heaven, we want to thank you again for the afternoon. Lord, you're singing your words this morning, and now, Lord, this afternoon, we just ask and pray that you'd help us to focus on your word and see how it applies to our lives, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to me to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to read the entire chapter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. For the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fulfilleth all things. Before we get into this chapter, the book of Ephesians is actually split up into two parts. The first part, which is Ephesians 1 through chapter 3, is we in Christ. In Christ. us in Christ. And this is what Apostle Paul will be looking at, us in Christ. And then from 3 to 6 is Christ in us. So as we're going through this book, the first 3 chapters, I want you to think and focus on Christ, we in Christ. How did that happen? How did that come around? And Apostle Paul is reminding the Ephesians. Now, in Acts chapter 18, he established the church. And during his second missionary journey, and then during his third missionary journey, he spent about 2 to 3 years there. But when he was there, he actually didn't spend a lot of time in the church. He was actually in the temple debating with the scholars. The emphasis is we in Christ. And we in Christ is that vertical relationship, that relationship between us and Christ, us and God. And then in chapters 4 to 6 is our relationship with others, which is the horizontal relationship, hence the picture of the cross. As we're going through this book, I would like for you to consider a few things. I would like for you to consider what is your position? Because Apostle Paul is going to go through and talk about your position in Christ. And then he's going to also talk about what is your purpose in Christ. And then at the end, what is your possession in Christ? And a while back, I had a sermon on this with the 3 P's. And I think Brother Richard Jankov also, if I'm not mistaken, I know he had a sermon on the 3 P's as well. What is your position? What is your purpose? And what is your possession? As we start off, Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesians. And he starts off in verse 3, and he said, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." When is the last time you actually thought about the blessings, the spiritual blessings God has given to you and to me? You see, we stand, I'm going to read something here, which was, I thought was really good, because we don't, a lot of times we kind of overlook that, if I may say. A man wrote down that there was a great Scottish Bible expositor, Alexander McLaurin, who wrote, we have as much of God as we will, plus puts the key of the treasure chamber into our hand and bids us to take all that we want. And if a man is admitted into the bullion vault of a bank and was told to help himself and comes out with 1 cent, whose fault is it that he is poor? You see, we have a vault of vast treasure, information. We can tap into it. We can glean from it. We can learn from it. We can grab hold of the promises when times are rough and tough, and we can't get through. We have a hard time getting through. It's there for us. It's in the scriptures. And we're given the key to it. But if we go and we don't read and we don't rely on his promises and we don't hold, we find ourselves in a position as being poor. Whose fault is that? Let's look at some of the other verses that he's said here. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame and before him in love. Here's our position in Christ, is that we were chosen. Christ chose you and Christ chose me. And he chooses and he calls everyone. We heard this morning, Brother Joe recited the portion of scripture that says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but all would have everlasting life. See, he can choose you and he can choose me, but we have the choice to accept him or not. In verse 5 says, having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will. This is our position in Christ, that we have been predestined. There are a lot of portions of scripture that talk about that. Romans 8:29-30, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that we might have the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, those he also glorified. Do I believe in predestination? Scripture says that we are predestined. Do I believe in eternal security? The answer to that is, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are eternally secure. First Timothy chapter 1:2 says, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. And then he goes on in verse 6, to the praise of his grace, the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We were accepted. This is our position of being in Christ Jesus. First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 15:7-8 says, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise in God. Verse 7 goes on and says that we have this redemption through his blood. Again, our position in Christ is that we've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Colossians 1:20-22, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, either they are things in earth or in heaven, things in heaven. And when we talk about redemption, we talk about being redeemed. And how are we redeemed? Scripture tells us we're redeemed by his blood. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb that was offered on the cross for my sins and for your sins. And it wasn't just any Lamb, but Scripture is very clear. We know that when the children of Israel had made sacrifices for their sins, they had to bring a Lamb without blemish, a perfect Lamb, to be offered on the altar for their sins. And Scripture tells us that Christ, who was the perfect and the ultimate Lamb, the perfect Lamb, was slain on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And through the redemption, we have forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. And I believe the acronym for grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And having made known unto us his mystery of his will. See, Christ told, and when Apostle Paul spent time and he was learning, he understood some of the mysteries. And we don't know all the mysteries. Scripture tells us that one day we will know the mysteries, all the mysteries. But the mystery for us, actually the mystery for those that don't know Christ Jesus, is a mystery of his blood, him dying on the cross for our sins. Verse 11 says, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You see, once we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, once we've accepted the fact that he died on the cross for yours, for my sins, and we've asked him in our lives, and we repent of the wrong that we've done, and Christ dwells within us, and we are called his sons and his daughters. Along that, we now have been given an inheritance. I don't know that we can really understand the magnitude of the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. We see the things that we have, the beauty that we have around about us, but the inheritance of eternal life and living in the New Jerusalem and living with God always, I don't know that we fully understand that. But we have an inheritance. We have something that we can look forward to. We have a glimpse. Scripture talks about a place where the streets are made of gold. A place where there's going to be no more tears, no more sighing. A place where there will be no sun, because he's going to be there, and the his glory is going to shine forever and ever. And he goes on to say, in whom you also trusted, after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. This is the faith that we have in Christ Jesus. This is the trust that we have, knowing that whatever we go through, he is there. A lot of times, we may feel that he is not there, but we have that faith knowing that he is. And whatever happens, he knows, and he's there. So as we look into the book of Ephesians, and we see as Apostle Paul wrote to them, and he's writing to us, our position and our purpose in him, that we've been blessed with spiritual blessings, we've been chosen in him. He's predestined us to the adoption, to be adopted as his children. As his children. We know that the children of Israel are his children, but we as the Gentiles have been adopted into his family, according to the good pleasure of his will. And we have been redeemed through his blood by the forgiveness of his sins, and according to the riches of his grace. And because of that, as we're in his word, we're made known the mysteries of his will. And also in whom we've obtained an inheritance. In closing, the Mount Morgan gold mine in Queensland, Australia, is one of the richest in all the world. For many years, though the original landowners lived in deep poverty on the mountain's barren surface, even though the vast wealth was out of sight, it was beneath their feet all the time. Many Christians live in a similar situation. They plod along and struggle through their spiritual lives, laboring every step of the way. They are unaware of the vast riches God has promised them, and therefore they do not claim them. Grace, forgiveness, strength, wisdom, direction, and the power to resist temptation, reconciliation, and protection. All these riches, and many more, are ours to claim. As long as we are in Christ Jesus, and as long as we know our position in Christ Jesus, we are his sons and his daughters, and we have inheritance that's waiting for us. May God bless his word.